$5 Bin Podcast with Mark and Rick.
And now with a splash of Brian.
Hello, Cinemaniacs, and welcome to the $5 Bin Podcast. This is one of our mini episodes. I'm your host, Mark Dittleman, and with me are my co-hosts, Rick Maxian.
Hello.
And Brian Higgins.
Ahoy, hoy.
Hello, gentlemen. How are we doing this evening?
Doing well.
Are we feeling spooky?
Yes.
I mean, on our last episode, we had done a movie in prep of Halloween, but we do have another episode. We have this episode coming out prior to Halloween, so a second chance to talk about all things scary and hairy and merry, bloody Mary.
And spoopy, as the kids say.
Spoopy? What are you talking about?
They say spoopy instead of spooky.
Why would they say such a thing?
Because they're kids. They're millennials. Shapoopy? That's what they do.
Is it supposed to mean the same thing, or is it different?
I think so. It's just like, oh, it's super spoopy.
Okay, so this is not like an Urban Dictionary word I have to look up or something.
It's nothing like any of the ones that you bring to the podcast.
So you guys travel on occasion, or Brian, you actually travel a lot. So one of my coworkers was telling me, this was a little debate we got into, and we were talking about how getting receipts for you stay at a hotel, like if you use your credit card. The argument was, they said, hey, well, I didn't get a receipt for that last hotel that we just stayed at for a function. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I did when I went to go check out. I got the receipt. And they said, you actually check out? And I go, yeah. They're like, oh, nowadays, that's not the modern thing to do. You just leave. And then they'll, like, email it you or something. They're like, you're old-fashioned. And I go, I always go down to the desk and drop off the key and get my receipt.
Yeah, I do the same thing. I don't.
And then I get the receipt there.
For me, it depends on where I'm going. If I'm staying at a hotel for a wedding, I will check out.
Mm-hmm.
Because usually it's like, okay, you know, it's the day after the wedding, so now I'm go drop my key off at the front desk and leave. If I'm in Disney World, I don't check out because you don't really need to. Usually, I've already checked my bag so I can go have some extra time in the park.
Okay.
So I've checked that for the airport pickup and everything, and they've already put my receipt under the door and everything. So.
Yeah, if they put the receipt under the door, I feel like Disney or hotels like that have a more streamlined system.
Yeah.
But if they don't kind of give you a expedited exit, I feel like you should go down and check out.
Yeah, and a lot of it, like, it depends on the quality of the hotel when I walk in.
Yeah.
Like, just that vibe you get. Because sometimes you walk into a hotel and you're like, I'm going to make sure I check out so that I don't get them saying, oh, no, you were in your room past checkout time.
Yeah, right, exactly.
So now we're going to charge you for an extra day.
Or you have extra amenities on there something like
that.
If you were checking into a haunted hotel, you would check in, but you might not check out.
Casper?
Did we do Tower of Terror with Kirsten Dunst and Steve Guttenberg?
We did not, but something a lot scarier than both of those things were the Wheelers of Return to Oz. Weirdly enough, we had released our Return to Oz episode, and in conversations in a lot of the movie marathons that we're playing recently, we're showing Wizard of Oz and people talking about them, kind of the talking heads people that were talking about the history of the movie. And then there were mentions of the sequel, Return to Oz. So it was a weird kind of coincidence that we did this movie.
Mm-hmm.
And there was actually talk out there on the media about this movie, because I literally have not heard anyone talk about this movie in probably 20 years. So
we got our finger on the pulse
we
of
do.
The zeitgeist.
I didn't even realize this movie existed.
That's true. Rick did not know this movie existed. So, gentlemen, did you kind of have any follow-up thoughts besides, I mean, that was kind of the thing that struck me, was that it was coming more to light after we had done the reviews it, but did you guys kind of think about this movie at all since then?
No, I tried to put everything out of my head. It was a little too kind of freaky.
Yeah, that's true. I know. I totally agree.
The main thing that I was thinking about in the week since we first talked about this was how it's going to stand up in the stack rankings.
Oh,
because
it's going to be very interesting.
You guys are in very strong agreement about how freaky it is, but I think your view of whether that's good or bad,
it's going to be
very
divided.
Different.
Yeah, that's true. But the other funny thing, and one of the things we had mentioned during the full reviews, which came up a few times after telling people about the episode, was we came across quite a few people that said, oh, I thought I had maybe seen that movie, but I actually never did. And both Brian and I were like, again, as we said before, is you need to at least watch this movie once. You have to experience.
Yes.
So, Rick's on board now. He was not on board with that before.
I think experiencing it, I mean, you only really need to watch like the first like 20 minutes to experience
no,
it.
No, you don't even mean, half of the characters in the first 20 minutes.
You meet the Wheelers, and that's all you need to meet.
No.
To be fair, the Wheelers were the most indelible impression on my childhood.
That's true, yeah.
All right, so gentlemen, a few fun facts about Return to Oz.
Firouza Balk, who starred as Dorothy, actually performed most of the film barefoot, as she found that her black shoes that she was wearing very uncomfortable. The ruby slippers were also very fragile and easily damaged.
And also three sizes too big.
Yeah, probably.
They were on the rock guy.
Yeah, so she
were
pretty
being
much
worn by a rock man.
So she didn't really wear the slippers most of the time. She just went totally
barefoot.
But
why wouldn't you just get her new black shoes?
Just get some that fit.
Yeah, get her flats or something.
Yeah, get her good shoes.
Get something. You gotta wear comfortable shoes.
Thank you.
One of the mechanisms we...
Mark, that's the wrong gum.
One of the mechanisms we brought up, actually, as to how TikTok was used, was that the gymnast Michael Sundin stood upside down with his legs bent and backwards inside TikTok's body to make a move, which we had brought up before. So the dude was upside down inside that metal body.
That just doesn't seem like the best way to do it.
Doesn't seem very practical.
It doesn't make
any
sense to me. Just design the costume slightly different.
Yeah.
And tell the guy that's controlling it, hey, walk like this.
Walk, yeah.
Like, oh,
like an
walk
Egyptian.
Walk like you're walking on your hands.
Yeah, I know.
But walk on your leg.
Go upside down.
It's easy to walk like TikTok.
Director Walter Murch invited his friend George Lucas to visit the set one day. During that visit, Lucas wandered to different sound stages when he came across the producer Rick McCallum, who was working on a small film. The two became friends and later collaborated on the Star Wars prequels.
Oh.
That's kind of weird. The film received a mention in the Guinness Book of World Records as the sequel that was made the longest period of time after the original. It was released 46 years after The Wizard of Oz, 1939. Bambi 2 broke that record in 2006, releasing 64 years later after the original.
There's a second Bambi?
I didn't even know that.
It was a direct-to-video sequel, though, so I don't count that.
Well, apparently Guinness does.
You know, I don't know if you can fully count this truly as a sequel to the original Wizard of Oz.
Because Dorothy got younger.
There's clear inspiration. And, of course, the ruby slippers have carried over. It's not a musical.
Yeah, it's very different. It's completely
different.
The character
designs are entirely different. Yeah. Calling it a sequel, I don't know. It's dubious at best.
But it's kind of interesting because there is a recent trend of doing sequels so far apart. Like, think about, like, Blade Runner 2049 or these freaking Avatar movies spaced out so much.
Or
like,
the Conners.
Yeah, oh. In the late 1950s, the Disney studio did kind of play around with the idea of making an Oz movie using their own Mouseketeers from the Mickey Mouse Club. Instead, made Babes in Toyland in 1961, which ironically starred Ray Bolger, who played the Scarecrow from the original Wizard of Oz.
Not Whitey Bolger.
Not Whitey Bolger. There would be more killing of witches.
That was the Rainbow Road of Oz or Rainbow Road to Oz that they were going to make. Does it say that?
No, it does not say.
I think I mentioned that in the original reviews it.
Original people considered to play the Gnome King, Christopher Lloyd and Tim Curry.
All right.
In case they wanted to frighten children even more.
I don't know about Tim Curry. I don't know about Tim Curry. I think Christopher Lloyd could play that kind of a crazy-ish guy. I mean, he's going to be in costume, so you're just going to go with his voice.
You just need a voice. Yeah, you need a voice actor.
I think Tim Curry's voice doesn't really work there, but Christopher...
Tim Curry's frightening, though.
He is. He can be very scary.
He's original Pennywise.
That's true. Original people considered for Princess Mombi, Louise Fletcher, Terry Garr, and Mary Steenburgen.
Oh.
Those are some weird choices.
Louise Fletcher was Nurse Ratched, right?
Yes, Nurse Ratched. She could have been good.
Yeah.
I couldn't see Mary Steenburgen playing that part, though.
Is it Steenburgen or Steenburgen?
Steenburgen. Beggar.
But if she was in it, maybe Ted Danson would
He could have played the Gump.
Just picture Ted Danson's head instead of the moose head. It's just Ted Danson at the front of a bed.
That would be actually all right.
You'll never guess one of the people they considered as the original voice of Balina. Take a wild guess. You'll be nowhere in the ballpark.
I will be in the ballpark.
No, you will not.
Mel Blanc.
That was a good guess because you swapped genders, which was correct. They were thinking of a guy.
Yeah, I think it's somebody random. What did we just do a movie with?
Christopher Walken.
Oh, that's a pretty good guess, too.
No, we just did a movie with somebody. Oh, what's his name? The general in the Spy Hard. Andy Griffith.
Very close. You are in the ballpark. Rick
Ron
is
Howard?
Don Knotts.
Oh, my God.
Hi there. I'm a chicken.
Someone else from the Andy Griffith Show. You are... Wow, Rick.
I'm done.
I commend you, sir.
Mic drop.
Wow, that is... If these mics weren't attached to these stands. And then Dick Van Dyke was considered for either the voice of Jack Pumpkinhead or the Scarecrow.
Actually, Don Knotts as Balina would actually have been really good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, he did play the incredible Mr. Limpet when he was a fish.
Hi there, I'm Balina.
I am, too. This movie was based on the second and third Oz books, The Marvelous Land of Oz and Ozma of Oz. Elements from the former include the intro of Jack Pumpkinhead, the witch Mombi and her powder of life, the conquest of the Emerald City, the escape by flying sofa, and the search by Princess Ozma. From the latter book comes the return of Dorothy, the talking chicken Balina, the Wheelers, the discovery of TikTok, a princess with interchangeable heads, the introduction of the Gnome King, and the Ornament Room. So those all did come from actual stories. Several additional scenes were filmed of the opening of the Kansas sequence, including a face-painting scene between Dorothy and Aunt Em, Balina running through the farmhouse kitchen, and Uncle Henry reading newspaper clippings detailing Dorothy's disappearance after the cyclone. These were all cut from the film. A face-painting
face
scene.
Face-painting?
Yeah, why would we need that?
What would they face-paint with? Like charcoal from like the wood fire or something?
Yeah, just take it out of the fireplace?
Like,
here,
no,
Dorothy,
like seriously.
Here's your war makeup.
Like, was there like non-toxic face-painting back then?
Well, there was probably face-painting.
It was probably toxic.
Yeah.
Emma Ridley, who played Ozma, was actually dubbed in post-production by director Walter Murch's daughter Beatrice. Ridley's natural voice was deemed too British for the character.
That doesn't make sense. Balina and all these other guys are just weird voices. Why would British be a problem?
I don't know. Apparently in Oz, they can't have British people talking. Originally, the Scarecrow, the Tin Woodsman, and the Cowardly Lion were supposed to have more prominent roles in the film. However, due to budget cuts, it forced their appearances to be reduced to just cameos.
You know, that does make me wonder, because I know you posted a picture of the VHS
yes,
cover.
My copy of the VHS.
Your copy. And on that VHS cover, it has all three of them featured prominently,
very prominently
on the, riding the Gump
mm-hmm.
and alongside their adjacent counterparts. You know, it makes me wonder if that art, that poster design, had begun being designed before the finished product was there.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, it's probably separate outside of it, so they were just
kind
of making
it. But here's the thing. Budget concerns, right? Or, no, they went over budget or whatever. If you're going to shoot the scenes, you're just going to keep shooting the scenes, and then you'd go over budget after you shot the scenes. I mean, did they have budget concerns prior to even shooting anything?
It's possible. Well, it might have been that the design was in progress, and then they're like, okay, we can't use them as much. And so it's just like, okay.
TikTok suit costs way too much money.
Yeah, it costs too much getting someone who can walk on their hands.
Yeah.
So they're like, leave them on the poster, leave them on the VHS cover. People know them. It'll draw
it'll
them
bring
in.
Bring them back in, yeah.
And then
this
they
is
can,
what they know.
They can fall in love with their all-new friends,
yeah.
like TikTok and Jack Pumpkinhead and the Gump.
Speaking of those kind of budget concerns you said, so Disney actually fired the director, Walter Murch, about a week into the production due to the budget concerns. The studio found dailies lacking, and Murch's slow shooting pace very disheartening. Murch contacted his friends like Francis Ford Coppola, Steven Spielberg, and George Lucas for help, and all three directors lobbied Disney to rehire Murch back. Lucas even offered to take over the directing himself should Murch fall behind schedule. Murch ended up finishing the film on schedule, though while in post-production, the studio management changed. The new executives had very little faith in the movie and doomed it with a limited promotion and short theatrical run.
I'm not going to knock the executives on this one because...
Well, it seems like they kind of cut the legs out from it
a little
bit.
All right, look at the movie.
Yeah.
You're watching it now. Do you really think that movie would have been a quote-unquote Disney release? Like... Disney releases in the 90s. Well, this was when? This was 85.
So my answer to that is
oh, yeah.
yes.
I guess
I say
in the 80s, yes.
yes. Did you ever
in
see
the 80s,
movie
yes.
where John Hurt had to escape over the Berlin
yeah,
Wall?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We
all
watched
right,
that
in the
in
80s,
school.
Yes.
The Black Cauldron?
The Black Cauldron, yeah. yep.
The 80s were a weird time
yeah,
for
was
Disney.
Just,
the post-Walt era, like, there's a lot of questionable decisions. Yeah. It was, yeah.
Escape
like,
from Witch Mountain kind of almost well, falls and, in that category.
And the Black Hole.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Even, you can throw Tron in. Like, they didn't quite know what direction they were moving in
for a
while.
They were just kind of, like,
and
jumping
then they went,
on
and
new
even
technologies.
In terms of the animation.
Right.
Like, there was a lot of wheel spinning. Because we can look
at... like the Wheelers.
Yeah, we can look... But we can look at a movie like, you know, The Fox and the Hound, The Rescuers, Rescuers Down Under. And you can be like, okay, I like those. But it wasn't until you had the Eisner, Katzenberg, and Wells... trifecta
like
coming
the
in
Aladdin,
and then
Little Mermaid
you launch
all those
into Little
90s
Mermaid. Rescuers Down Under happens after Little Mermaid so that's the weird
there was a naked
holdover.
Woman in that
was in the first one actually. Mid 80s this is pretty par
yeah,
for
I'm gonna
the
say yes.
for what Disney
because I was
yeah,
thinking
I,
it,
am not surprised
I was thinking
by
it was
this.
90s and I was like this is not
you thought it was
anything.
The post yeah.
yeah yeah if this was circa like Mighty Ducks
yeah
I would get that this would be probably a Touchstone release at that point.
Yeah. yeah. You're right.
But
you're
you know,
totally
we're pre Roger Rabbit, we're pre all of that, so
yeah.
Par for the course.
Emma Ridley, who played Ozma, she auditioned for the role of Dorothy. Other actresses that were considered were
Was she too British?
Yeah, she was probably too British. Other actresses considered Drew Barrymore, Alanis Morissette.
Drew Barrymore would have been way young. In
well,
85?
E.T. aged. She would have been young.
Yeah.
Elizabeth Berkeley from Saved by the Bell and Juliet Lewis. Feruza Balk did all her own stunts. She was the Tom Cruise of this movie.
I like it.
It's probably because she wasn't wearing shoes.
Yep. Oh, kind of the foreshadowing things we mentioned in the full reviews. Did anyone notice that Pons Mar, who plays the lead Wheeler, was also one of the asylum orderlies?
Yeah.
And he also provides the voice of the gnome messenger and also served as a movement coach on the film. So that guy was like multifaceted there. Oh, here you go, guys. The Scarecrow was originally supposed to have a fully articulated animatronic face akin to that of the Gump. However, budget cuts forced the puppeteers to reduce his face to a series of masks with fixed expressions. So I know that was a big pain point for you that his mouth was not moving a lot. Judy Garland was 17 when filming Wizard of Oz. Feruza Balk was only 11, even though Return to Oz is a sequel. Something we obviously noticed even the first time watching this movie.
Yes.
When Dorothy is in the hospital in Kansas, she is kept in room 31 by Nurse Wilson, Mombi. Later, when Dorothy is in Oz, Mombi's original head is also in cabinet 31.
Well, but that goes along the point that I think she's actually going through therapy.
Well, how would she remember that, though?
Blah.
And also, the hospital got burned down because of lightning.
That's true.
That's really how she got out. And then she woke up outside of the hospital.
But then she
was
goes
thrown
back home.
From an explosion.
She goes back to the new house, and she goes to sleep on a Gump couch. Explain that, Rick. That was a deleted scene. While filming the sequence near the end, where Dorothy is riding the Cowardly Lion, actress Feruza Balk became so overwhelmed by the temperature in excess of 110 degrees Fahrenheit that she passed out on the soundstage. She actually said that in the interview on my copy, my VHS, about how hot it was riding on that lion. So during the scene in Dr. Worley's office, Dorothy is telling the story of how the Tin Woodsman came to lose his legs. Dorothy starts to say the word hacked, but this was hastily dubbed to cut, as the original line was deemed too strong for younger viewers. So you can't say hacked, but you can say cut. So you can't say hacked off his legs, you can say cut off his legs.
Much better.
Cut
is a lot less graphic, though.
I guess. So that's the end of the fun facts. Well, gentlemen, this is the point where we connect the last movie we did to the current one. Now,
what was the last movie?
Last movie we did was Cop and a Half.
Oh, yeah.
And the current one was Return to Oz. Now, gentlemen, if you did or did not, not to boast, this was probably one of the easiest ones I ever came up with.
Go for it.
It took me 3 seconds.
Name that.
So, Feruza Balk to Burt Reynolds in...
Yes. Two steps. Burt Reynolds was in The Longest Yard with Adam Sandler.
Okay.
And Adam Sandler was in The Waterboy with Feruza Balk.
There you
go.
So,
that was pretty easy. Done and done. And I mean done.
Oh.
Well, okay, well, now that that's over and done with, Brian, I believe you have a fun Oz-related game for us, perhaps?
I do. All right, so gentlemen, I have a little game for you, because one of the things you might have noted watching Return to Oz is these characters have some weird-ass names.
That's true. They're very interesting names.
Like, we had Mombi, we had Belina.
Yeah.
So there's definitely some strange...
Uncle Henry.
Yeah. Definitely some strange names going on in L. Frank Baum's world.
Yes.
I mean, not E-Bomb's world.
His name is L.
E-Bomb's
Frank Baum, like... Why aren't you Frank Baum? It already starts off. The author has a weird name.
What's his actual first name?
Linen.
Yes, his Linen. First name is Linen. His first name is actually Lyman.
He loves... Oh, Lyman. That was close.
What I wanted to do for a game for you, because there was a large series of Oz books.
Yes, true.
That had a plethora of colorful characters contained within.
I
have
guapo.
A special little game for you. Yes. Where I am going to give you a series of characters, and you're going to tell me which one is not a Wizard of Oz character.
Okay.
Or an L. Frank Baum Oz character.
All right.
So these are all characters coming from the Baum books.
So how do we do this? Like, how do we take turns, or we jump in, or?
You just, we'll do
blurt
a 3-2-1, you blurt it out.
Okay.
To your the best of your ability.
So each one, so you're going to give multiple choice, and one of them is
no,
wrong.
No, he's going to give us a character at the same time.
I'm going to give you four characters.
Yeah. Oh.
You're going to tell me which one in that four is not a real character.
Okay, all right. So we get four. All right.
We'll start with Dr. Pip, Mrs. Youp, Dr. Nickadick, and Mr. Muab. Three, two, one.
Dr. Pip. Nickadick.
You're both incorrect. Mr. Muab is the fake one. That's just bomb backwards.
Oh. I thought Mr. Muab would have been one.
No. All right. So next we have Locasta Tatipu, Mehmet Sengiz, Kiki Aru, and Nimi Ami.
I don't know what language you're speaking.
It's Oz.
Okay. All right.
Three. Two, one.
Kick, Nimi kick. Ami.
You're both incorrect.
Oh.
It's Mehmet Sengiz, which is Dr. Oz. That's his first and middle name.
Oh, that was the one I was going to go with first. I thought you were just pronouncing Miami wrong. Mimi Ami.
All right, next we have Cake the Cookie Cook.
Ooh.
Jellia Jamb.
Okay.
Tommy Quickstep.
Oh.
And Ruth Plumley Thompson. 3, 2, 1.
Ruth.
Cookie Cakey Cook.
I'm going to go with Ruth.
Rick, you get a point.
Oh, yes!
Ruth.
Ruth Plumley Thompson was a later writer of Oz books.
Oh.
Good job, Rick. Not all of these have fun backgrounds. Yeah, Some of these are just fake.
I knew that.
You did not know that.
All right. Next, we have Captain Fighter. Captain Bill Weedles.
What?
General Ginger, spelled with J's, not G's. And General Clump. 3, 2, 1.
I'm going to go with Weedles.
General Ginger.
You're both incorrect. It's General Clump, which is a Donkey Kong character.
I knew there couldn't be two generals.
How could there be two captains.
That's true.
All right, next we have the Rainbow Zebra, Hank the Mule, Jim the Cab Horse.
Oh.
And Sawhorse. 3, 2, 1.
Sawhorse.
Hank
horse.
The Mule.
You're both incorrect. It's the Rainbow Zebra.
I knew that guy from his story. My memory is fading.
That's good. So, Rick, you have a point.
Oh, good.
Mark does not.
And yeah, you're going to stay that way. You're going to have 1 point, and I'm going to have no point. And that's going to be the final score.
That's not a bad point. For me.
All right. Up next, we have Braided Man.
Oh.
Rag Doll.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Patchwork Girl and Shaggy Man's Brother. 3, 2, 1.
The second
Patchwork
one.
Patchwork Girl.
The second one.
Rag Doll.
Rag Doll.
That's actually correct.
Yeah.
That's a DC Comics villain.
Okay. Yeah.
So, Rick, you now have 2 points.
Yes!
Wow. You are killing this
domination.
Game where we're just dumb guessing.
All right.
I knew that one.
You did not.
Ervic.
Is this like...
Ervic.
Like Air Bud?
Goo Goo. Funko. And Quox. 3, 2, One.
Funko.
You're both correct.
Yeah, Funko Pop.
I was going to say, if I'm wrong on this one.
That was an easy one to throw in there. Yeah. I was hoping that you might go, well, maybe they named the company after an obscure Oz character.
Yeah. We're not thinking that quickly. Nope. We've been drinking.
All right.
That's the only one that logically made sense so far.
All right, so 3-1.
Next we have...
You got a point, Mark.
I did.
3-1. Next we have the Flopsy Dog.
Oh.
The Frogman.
Flopsy Mopsy.
The Wogglebug. And Glass Cat.
All right.
3-1.
Glass.
Flopsy Dog.
Mark's making a comeback.
Oh, I even said dog. Flopsy Mopsy.
You did.
But you didn't say the
round. You didn't say the final.
3-2.
3-2.
Now we're going to go into the realm of royalty.
Oh. We're moving up the
ladder. We've got some kings and queens here. We've got Queen Anne Soforth. King Aesteen the Fart.
What?
King Pastoria. Queen Coo-ee-o. 3-1.
Fart.
Queen Coo-ee-o.
Rick, you got a point.
I was going to do that.
King Aesteen the Fart was an 8th century Norwegian king.
Oh,
I knew that.
I was going to do that one.
But you didn't.
I didn't.
4-2. I've retaken my 2-point lead.
I was like, it's so dumb and not real, that's got to be real.
Now, this one might make you feel like we're in the 100 Acre Wood, but we now have the Wise Donkey,
okay,
the Hungry Tiger, the Foolish Owl, and 9 Tiny Piglets.
Oh, man.
What?
3-1.
Donkey.
Hungry Tiger.
I'm going to give both of you a point. That was a trick question. All 4 of them are Oz characters.
Really?
Yes.
See, I didn't think they'd double down with a tiger when they already had a lion.
I think the tiger was like compatriots with the lion, too.
But they do have lions and tigers and bears, oh my.
Ooh, and 9 piglets.
And 9 piglets.
Okay, I think we have 2 left.
Also, if I don't get the next one, Rick wins.
We have Unk Nunky, Tenzil Kem, Zeb Hugson, and Ku Klip. 3-1.
Unk Nunkly.
Tenzil Kem.
Mark, you're correct.
Woo!
That is actually the real name of the Matter Eater lad from the Legion of Superheroes.
Really? Okay.
So that brings us to our final question.
So my chance to tie.
You can tie.
You need this to tie. Now, Rick, do you want to give him the chance to make this worth 2 points?
No, because I haven't won in a while.
Okay.
Why does he get to decide? It should be your choice.
I haven't won in a while.
Generous. If he was feeling generous.
I am not.
All right. So we have Tititi Hoochoo, Dixie Horner, Tolly Diggle, and Dongo Pipiti.
How about this?
No, we have to go same time.
I'll let you guess, and if you get it, you get a point. And then we tie.
And if he doesn't get it?
Then I win.
He wins.
Well, why don't you
he doesn't have
no,
to
Rick,
guess.
I don't have to guess.
You need to give an answer, Rick.
Fine.
3-1.
Dongle.
Titty.
Dongle.
Rick, you get a point.
Oh, what was the
Dongo Pipiti was just a fake name.
Oh, Dongo Pipiti.
Tititi Hoochoo is real, as is Dixie Horner. That's D-I-K-S-E-Y. And Tolly Diggle.
Well done. You
Rick
know your ridiculous names, Rick.
Woo,
you know these ridiculous names that no one should know.
Yeah.
It just shows you that those Oz books.
I'm waving to nobody.
There is so much more bizarre crap that we never got
that
in a movie.
That could have gone into another movie.
Yeah.
Or this movie. All right, gentlemen. So now that we've covered those fun monikers, let's move on to stack ranking this movie.
You know, I think we need to sit with this movie for like another week or so.
Yeah, I think I need to ponder on this movie at least over Halloween.
Think about Halloween movies we've done.
Yep.
And let's find one that's kind of middle of the road, and then we'll start the ranking there.
Okay.
But let's think about other Halloween movies. Like, I think we did...
We did Hocus Pocus.
Hocus Pocus.
We did Monster Squad. Ernest Scared Stupid.
We'll talk about it the next time, but I think we should start at Hocus Pocus.
Okay.
And then we'll go up or down from there.
Yeah.
But let's take some time because
we'll revisit this.
Rick, your feelings are still very, very hot and passionate. Mark, your feelings are still very hot and passionate.
Very angry.
Right.
I think we need to, this is one where we might need to mellow a little.
Yeah. Mellow yellow. Like the Scarecrow. Well, since we're gonna muddle that over, let's jump into a round of...
Oh, where have these actors gone? oh, where could they be?
Probably not famous anymore.
Yes.
And the first person we obviously want to start with is the gentleman who we brought up. He was the, not just a triple threat, he was the quadruple threat that we found out from the fun facts.
Yes.
The guy who played the main wheeler.
Ponsmar.
Ponsmar.
He's been in only 14 things.
Oh.
The last was a short in 08 called The Job. He was a puppeteer in the TV series Don't Eat the Neighbors.
Oh.
He was lead,
that sounds interesting.
Lead puppeteer in Monkey Bone.
With Brendan Fraser.
He was Barry the Dinosaur in the TV series The Simple Life. He was the performer of Theodore Rex in the movie
Goldberg.
Theodore Rex.
Wow, mismatched cop movie.
He was also, he was the father in Dinosaurs.
He was
everybody.
The body of Earl Sinclair?
Roy Hess, additional dinosaur performers, Fran Sinclair, Roy Hess body, Ed, Bridget, Chef, Ticket Guy, Devil, Bert, Ansel, Decker, Ty Warner, Prosecutor, Dr. Ficus, Walton Steinhay, and then it keeps going and it doesn't list the things.
He played everyone.
He was dinosaurs.
He was all the dinosaurs.
All of them. In the movie The American Scream.
The Edvard Munch painting? The Scream?
No. It's
about a family vacationing in the mountains who's terrorized by local wackos.
Oh my god, of course. Wheelers.
Right.
He was in The Blob.
Which year?
The 1988.
Was that the one with Kevin Dillon?
Yes.
Okay.
Oh god. You're ridiculous.
Wait, you don't know the different? The original had Steve McQueen, the remake had Kevin Dillon. Doesn't everyone know that?
He was in Dead Heat.
Oh, we brought that up on our mismatched cops again with Treat Williams. And Joe Piscopo.
He was also in Masters of the Universe, Sauron.
Oh, I wonder if he's
Sauron was the one that looked kind of like a lizard man.
Oh, yes, he was that guy. Okay.
Like, he had an action figure.
Yes.
But it's not to be mistaken for Karg, who had the glorious plumage of hair.
Yeah, he had the giant white hair, yeah.
Yeah. And I think I had this action figure. I'm pretty sure it made sparks out of its mouth.
Yes, it did. Yeah, you're right. It was like a mini lighter for kids.
Then he was in The Golden Child.
Oh, my God. That's a great Eddie Murphy movie.
And then Return to Oz. And then Citizen. Basically, I just listed his entire career.
You did?
Yeah. That was his career.
That's good.
Well, his career as an actor.
Right.
He was miscellaneous crew on a number of projects.
Yeah.
Like puppeteering, primarily.
Yep. Yeah.
Including being an uncredited puppeteer for Team America World
Police. Oh! All right, so moving on from the Wheelers. So who else should we look up, gentlemen?
We can look up Enma Ridley.
Oh, Ozma. Yeah, good call.
Yeah,
she's too British.
She is too British, but she also didn't have very much of a career either. In fact, her photo is a photo of Ozma. And
she has a
grand total of 4 acting credits.
Oh,
one, Boy Meets World.
Boy Meets World is her last one. She was the character Becky Sparrow in the episode A Long Walk to Pittsburgh, Part 2.
I wonder if she went on a date with Corey. Or Sean.
I'm pretty sure I've seen this episode.
Or Topanga.
It's the episode where Corey is despondent without Topanga.
Oh.
Topanga shows up on Corey's doorstep. She ran away from home and wants to convince her parents to let her live with an aunt in town.
Corey and Topanga
must convince Corey's parents and Topanga's aunt that they are truly in love. So she might have been Topanga's aunt.
Oh, right. She would have been older.
Oh, no. That was Prudent.
I'm picturing her as a kid still.
Becky Sparrow. I'm gonna have to watch this episode.
We're gonna have to go back and do a little Boy
She has nothing
World.
Else really going on except for she got married at 15.
Wow.
What?
Divorced.
That's why she
and
could
married,
be Jack Pumpkinhead's mom.
And then married a producer several years later. Then she separated after having a son in 96. Then she had 2 more children with her next husband, born in 2000, one born in 2002, and then they divorced. So she's had 3 husbands. 3 divorces, and she started marriage at 15.
And all those kids are like, Mom! Mom!
Mombi.
Mom!
Mombi. I'm Ozma.
Okay, well, speaking of Mombi, since we brought up Mombi, the actress that played Mombi looked very familiar, but I couldn't remember.
Jean Marsh. She's been in, actually, a few things. Known for Willow.
Oh, okay. She was the witch lady, right?
She was Queen Bavmorda.
Yes, yes, right. What you said.
Yes, she was
Queen. I remember her. Okay, that's why she looked more familiar.
She's been in 99 titles.
Red Luftballons.
Wow.
Yes. The latest one that she was in, she's been in a TV series. She was in Grantchester. Must be a
Grantchester is a wonderful PBS British detective show.
Maybe that's where you know her from.
That's true. I don't remember her being
there. She was in one episode, so I doubt that's the case.
But see, I do watch Grantchester. I like that show.
Looking at some movies here.
She was on an episode of Murder, She Wrote.
Of course.
She was in The Corsican Brothers.
Oh, Cheech and Chong. That was a weird movie.
She was in Doctor Who at some point. She was in 15 episodes. A couple episodes of The Love Boat.
The Love Boat.
And Trapper John, M.D.
She's accumulated a lot of credits.
Yeah, like a lot of like one-shot
things. But a lot of them
things.
Are from TV.
And they're just one episode here and there. It's
one
like,
episode.
I mean,
hey,
it's
work.
Her first credit was in 1952.
Wow, okay, wow, going back.
Yeah, so, I mean, she started in 52, and she was born in 1934, so she was only 18.
Holy moly. Who played the updated version of the Scarecrow?
That was Justin Case.
What?
Justin Case.
That's
not real.
That's Justin Case.
And
you
that's
weren't
his
paying any
name?
Attention.
I don't know, but that's his name.
He was born in London.
Justin Case.
So his
he's like a it's like a bad Carmen Sandiego villain. Nosmo King.
His first credit is Superman 3.
Oh, with Richard Pryor.
He was the mime.
I don't remember a mime.
There was a mime.
Did Superman fight
he
a
was
mime?
It. Then Return to Oz was his next credit.
Oh, I almost spit out all my beer.
Rick's beer almost came out as next.
One episode of Number 73, which was a TV series.
Bingo.
He was in Killing Dad or How to Love Your Mother as a postman.
Don't tell me
El
what
post,
that movie I don't
El
want to
Postino.
Know what that movie's about.
It's a movie about how a man, always very devoted to his mother, decides to look for his father, whom he never met. He meets a seducing older woman prone to drinking and her aged boyfriend, whom she grew tired of.
Gene Marsh.
And it stars Richard E. Grant.
Oh, Richard E. Grant. Nice.
And Julie Walters.
Wow.
And Denholm Elliott.
Star-studded cast.
Oh, my God.
You weren't expecting it, but,
no,
but there
it
is.
I didn't want it, but now I like it.
Speaking of things that no one wants, he was then in the Mel Gibson Hamlet.
Wow.
As one of the players.
I never saw the Mel Gibson Hamlet. I think it's probably for the best.
He played a cameraman in Cracking Up. Then he was the mummy in The Munsters' Scary Little Christmas.
Oh, wonderful.
And
is
then
it
his,
really wrong?
I like it.
Most recent credit from 1997 is Axolotl the Terrorist in a short film called Final Cut.
Wasn't there a Robin Williams movie called Final Cut?
Yeah, yes. I thought so.
Is that the same one?
No.
Okay. Do you think they edited the movie on Final Cut? All right, so there we go. I think that was a pretty good edition of where have these actors gone? Gentlemen, any kind of final thoughts on Return to Oz, the weird characters that live there that we've never heard the names before, hotel receipts, anything like that?
No, I actually am looking forward to when we do rank this because I think it's just going to be you guys ranking it because it's not going to be voted very highly with me.
I think we're going to have a debate.
We are going to have a debate. And those are good.
But I think it would also be good to have another movie under our belt that we can kind of pull into that ranking system as well.
Yeah, I think so too. Yeah. Yeah.
Because maybe there will be some compromises happening.
Yeah.
Oh.
And strangely enough, debate is the name of another character from Oz.
On that note.
And on that note, thanks Cinemaniacs for listening to this episode of the $5 Bin Podcast. I'm Mark, and for Rick and Brian, just remember, you can always paint the grass green, a spooky green. Good night.
Good.
Rick got eaten
by the blob with Kevin Dillon.
I just have to say, the Munsters does not have an iconic theme song.
I thought this was like the Munsters go and meet the Beach Boys.
Oh, like the when Scooby-Doo met the Harlem Globetrotters?
Yeah. Exact same story.
Adam's Family's got an iconic theme
yes,
song.
Yes, that's
there.
True.
Munsters,
it's very dated and funky.
I wouldn't have been able to, if you played that for me and said, what show is this the theme song for? I'd be like, I don't know.
I know because I know TV theme songs. That's my magic power.
All right. Let's
test me.
Let's test him.
All right. The Love Boat.
That's the Love Boat.
Oh my God.
That's pretty good, huh?
Deleted scene.
Magnum P.I. Oh, Danger Mouse.
That's right.
Rockford Files.
Yes.
Ghostbusters.
I'm sorry, that's incorrect. It's the real Ghostbusters.
Oh, you're saying from the cartoon. Originally, it was from the movie Ghostbusters. Mr. Ed!
I was gonna get into it quick, but you got it.
I got it before.
Michael Landon.
Oh, Highway to Heaven.
Yes.
Didn't lend it. Mr. Belvedere.
That is correct. No. Baby, if you never wondered whatever became of
WKRP in Cincinnati. That one kind of gave it away a little bit. Yeah. Here we are, face to face, a couple of silver spoons. Silver spoons. I got it. Say bye to the doll.
Yeah, that's an easy one. Where we
moving on now? Oh, the Jeffersons. Got me, Brian. What was that one?
That was the Wizard of Oz.
Oh, the Wizard of Oz. I hope Mrs. Tick-Tick-Tick-Ticky-Poo was there.
One time, the guy who played Mr. Belvedere sat on his own balls and they had to stop filming for a couple of days.
Ouch.
Thanks, Cinemaniacs, for listening to this mini episode of the $5 Bin Podcast, and happy Halloween to you. You can find us on the social interwebs. Tweet us at the $5 Bin, P-O-D, like us on Facebook, or email us at the $5bin.podcast@gmail.com. Download and subscribe to all our episodes on iTunes, and when you do, hey, why not leave a nice rating and review? Helps others to find the podcast as well. Why, thank ya! For information about Brian and my improv organization, Natick Improv, and upcoming workshops and performances, you can visit NaticImprov.com or like Natick Improv on Facebook. A big thanks once again to Jeff Kimball and Jenny Weech for the $5 bin theme song. And until next time, Cinemaniacs, hasta la vista, baby Ozzy the Ozlandians.